I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, as always presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop. EB returns tomorrow after a day off.
I'm sure that was a fun drive to Poughkeepsie in the rain. 5 hours in the rain north into, is that considered upstate New York?
I guess so, yeah.
Or getting there anyway. He asked me, so what's the weather going to be like? I said, it's going to be money. Don't worry, it's going to be great. Well, I knew it was going to rain, but yeah. I just meant the temps were going to be okay. Because it was, you know, it was pretty much mid-50s yesterday, but it rained pretty much all day. Now, today's going to be a little different because it's not going to rain. It's going to be closer to 60. And Valdez, I'm actually going to get out and tee it up. Now, I do not like cart path only.
Oh, you're going to be dealing with that today.
You're playing today?
Yeah, CPO, I hate it, but I feel like I have to take advantage of days where it's close to 60.
They're the worst three letters.
They're the worst.
That and HIV.
Yeah, those are pretty bad ones, too.
Where are you playing?
I'm going to play at River Creek.
Oh, silly.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it, but taking four or five clubs out to your ball with a towel and walking to it sucks.
No fun.
Yeah, it's not any fun.
By the way, your weather update for West Palm, where we will be for Nat spring training, I don't care about Sunday because we're getting there late Sunday. Monday and Tuesday, Monday high of 76, Tuesday high of 79. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be nice.
Well, Tuesday doesn't really affect you because we get back on a plane on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I mean, we're broadcasting Monday. Tuesday morning.
I get it, but Monday is the day where it's
Monday
coming.
Is the Monday day.
That's the day.
76 degrees.
Because that's the day that you go play poker, and you have lunch with Dave Richard, and then you play poker.
Yeah.
With Dave Richard.
That's probably the plan.
You'll really be enjoying the weather.
I will be enjoying the Florida weather. Absolutely.
Are we supposed to be trapped in our airport hotel room while Cakes takes the vehicle?
Oh,
an hour away.
It's a very good.
It's not like we can walk to the downtown this year.
Is there only one vehicle?
Listen, I could always. I can Uber. I can always make take a different form of transportation. It's not a problem. Thanks. Not trying to keep everybody held hostage at the embassy suites.
We just drop him off.
Drabby,
so close. He keeps bragging about how
he's going to Fort Lauderdale.
If I meet Dave
Richard, that's like 45 minutes.
It's a haul. But I could.
Why don't you have Dave meet you at the dog track?
We can meet like halfway. We can meet in the middle. That might be the move. I can just take an Uber.
I didn't even think about that because last year we didn't have two cars, right? We just had the one.
I thought we just had the one last year.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's fine.
What do you want to do?
I'm not trying to inconvenience everybody.
I think I'm pretty confident we had two. We had two. We were always splitting up doing different things.
Well, I remember Eric and I took one car because we went to the woods.
Right.
And then maybe you guys had the other car. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Eric's staying at the baseball game, so he's going to want a car.
Yeah,
we had a bunch of people
trapped
in their
hotel rooms. You know what? Let's get five cars. Let's just get five cars.
Yeah.
And we could just do our own thing.
Just have a massive carbon footprint.
I'm thinking about going to the Honda Classic on Sunday because I get into West Palm at 11 a.m. And Denny McCarthy has said he's going to leave me a ticket.
Ooh, nice. Look at these connections.
Inside the ropes?
No, it's not. I think it's just a regular ticket. But he's playing in the Honda Classic.
Right.
And what else am I going to do on Sunday for, you know, all day?
It's a very good point.
And we're 15, 20 minutes from PGA National. I think I'm going to. What do you want to do on Monday after the show, Drabby?
I'm down for whatever. I want to go to the woods.
You want to go to the woods? All right. So that's the plan, right?
Yeah, that's right. He's a Tiger sycophant. I forgot.
Plus, there's going to be silly PGA players there.
Probably. Hanging around.
It's going to be star-studded.
It's going to be a lot of people. We might need to get reservations because there's going to be a lot of people.
That's
a lot
true.
Of
you might need to do that.
All of those GAF fans that went to PGA National for the Honda Classic, they're all going to be hanging out until Monday or Tuesday.
That's true.
We might not even get a seat.
You better get that resi in soon.
Probably should.
Like today. Yeah. It might even be too late.
But yes, the weather is going to be very nice.
So we're going to talk to Charlie Casserly, former Redskins and Houston Texans GM, coming up in about 15 minutes. Some interesting comments from Kyle Smith, whose current job title is Vice President of Player Personnel for the Redskins. I believe he would love to be named General Manager. I don't think they've named a general manager yet.
They have not.
But he's the VP of player personnel, and he was talking about Dwayne Haskins. And I think this is encouraging if you're a Redskins fan. Said he's ready to do everything he possibly can. The other day, he, being Dwayne Haskins, told me he's bringing the guys down to Florida to throw with them and do the things he can do. He's doing all the extra stuff that we expect of him, and he's got a bright future. He also went on to say that he's been in the building like every day.
Good.
Continue to work on his craft. So I don't know the rules. You know, they have OTAs and they have certain little camps, but I guess you could just show up and, you know, work with the guys and study film and do all those sort of things. And apparently he's doing all of those behind the scenes things that you expect of quarterbacks.
Well, especially young quarterbacks, right? Like the knock on him was he didn't put a lot of time in and off the field, but now you're hearing it's different, and I think that that's excellent for him. And if you're a Redskins fan and you're pro Dwayne Haskins, you certainly want to see the development. So it's good that he's working out outside of Ashburn.
We haven't heard that much from Ron Rivera and whether he truly is excited about him, but it seemed like Doug Williams, who's now in the job title of Senior VP of Player Development, it seemed that he was indicating that Ron Rivera is sold on Dwayne Haskins as well.
Yeah, but I mean, one of Williams' quotes from just this past week, warning Dwayne Haskins not to, quote, gallivant all over the place this offseason, that raises a few red flags to me.
But it's a warning. He's not saying that he is.
Okay, well, why is he putting it out there if he potentially isn't? That's what I would be concerned about. Maybe his head is in the right space. I like the fact that he's gathering up some of the receivers and doing off-season workouts with them in Florida. That's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Haskins, hopefully he knows now that it shouldn't be news that he's in the building every day. Like, but don't you think Matt Ryan and Drew Brees and, you know, Cam Newton when he was healthy, aren't those guys in the building every day? Like, that's not news.
I would assume.
That's standard operating procedure, is that you're there every day to try to get better.
Well, look,
and improve.
If Dwayne Haskins isn't there every day, you're going to see it on the field.
Certainly.
And he won't be the starter very long.
Right.
So it's up to him.
But, I mean, all signs are that that's what he's doing. I'm saying I would be encouraged by this news because you don't hear that much news about what guys do in the offseason, and they can go in hell and do whatever the heck they want. Like, I don't think Tom Brady's going to New England's facilities every day. He has his little camps. I watch TB12. He invites the guys to a location and throws the ball with them and does his own kind of thing. And you're right, maybe he's doing that using that phrase, gallivanting around, is kind of a warning, because Williams also went on to say that he's been in the building every day.
Well, but in Tom Brady's second year in the league, he might have been.
Yes.
That's what we don't know. By the way, Kyle Smith was asked about the trade scenarios, right? You know, because the Skins are there at two, and who knows what, you know, Joe Burrow is going to go. At 95%, Joe Burrow is going to go one of the Bengals.
Right after we had that hypothetical discussion, literally a half an hour after we had the hypothetical discussion, well, what if Burrow engineers
Burrow said,
his
I'll
way
play
out.
For the Bengals.
He said, I'll play for whoever drafts me.
Right. So he shut that up real quick. All right. So Kyle Smith was asked about the trade scenarios. He said, quote, trade scenarios, we'll talk through all that stuff. That's part of those 3, 4, 5 days leading up to the draft. We'll go through every scenario. We will go through every scenario of how far back we would go if that scenario came, or what if this team called and what do they have available. We'll go through all of those scenarios so that draft night, when those opportunities come, we'll be ready to roll. And I'm sure there'll be some teams that'll be interested in, you know, depending on how Tua and Herbert look, those teams that are desperate for quarterbacks. Or other players, depending on how they look at the combine, will probably call the Skins. But
some of these top guys don't do things at the combine, though. It's kind of disappointing. So Chase Young isn't going to run. He's not going to do anything until his pro day. Kind of same thing for Joe Burrow, right? He's not going to throw at the combine.
No, they don't have to do that.
So they measured his hand, his height, got his measurables.
But the combine is still very interesting, because especially with the receivers and the DBs running. You want to see how fast those guys are. And tight ends as well. But, yeah, the top guys, they don't have to prove anything. They already know where they're going. By the way, the CBA is a huge deal, and we've talked about it. Now, this is from an article from R.J. White on CBSSports.com. He says, it appears the NFL and NFL Players Association could be nearing an agreement on a new collective bargaining agreement early Wednesday morning. That's today. NFLPA Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs, George Atala, who we know very well, he announced on Twitter that the Board of Player Reps voted to send the proposed CBA to the entire membership of players for a vote. They only need majority of the numbers to support it and to ratify it. And there were some veterans.
It seems like it's moving.
There were
fast.
Some veterans that came out, like J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman said. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette said no to this deal, but it only takes the majority to approve it, and that would be the 17 game regular season.
So they're sending it today.
I'm pretty sure it's today. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, it might take a while for them to vote on it. It might take a week. I don't know. I don't know how long it would take. But, they're trying to get this in motion. They're not messing around. Both sides want a deal. That would be the 17-game regular season, right? That would be the cut down of padded practices from 28 to 16, which I think every player would love. That would be a cut down on the preseason games from 4 to 3.
But no extra bye week, fans would apparently. Love.
There's no extra bye week?
It says no extra bye week in the regular season.
Okay, I didn't know that. And then that would be an increased share of the revenue for the players going from 47% to 48% in the 16-game schedule, and then it would go up to 48.5% in the 17-game schedule. Now, I'm not sure if that 17-game schedule would be next year or the year after, but...
I think for an NFL fan,
it's going to be here quick.
You want them to pass.
And then obviously the additional playoff teams.
Right? If you're an NFL fan, you want them to pass this.
Oh, yeah, you want labor peace. Absolutely. You don't want that looming heading into like a lame duck type of year where there's. Does it expire after the 2021 season currently?
I think it's 2021, yeah.
Yeah. You want to get it done.
And a lot of those TV contracts are also up after the 21 season.
Right.
So the owners want to get this deal going so they can say, hey, look, we got 10 years of, a deal. Let's negotiate a new TV contract, and the money goes up.
Wasn't there also something about the commissioner? He's not going to be the be-all and end-all when it comes to discipline? Because that's always been a problem.
Yeah, I did read that. But I think
Goodell taking himself out of the equation.
But you are pro 17 games,
yes.
And pro expansion of the playoffs.
Yes.
Cakes, what are you?
I'm pro all of that.
Yeah.
So how is it going to work? Schedule-wise, if you have 17 games, you're just going to have like one year you have 9 home games, the next year you have 8, and it just flip-flops.
I don't know how they would do that. I would guess it would be based on conference.
Right.
So one year the NFC would get the 9 homes, and the next year the AFC, but I could be totally wrong. But obviously, a team has to have 9 home
games
and 8 roadies.
It's kind of confusing how that's going to work.
Well, they'll work that out. I think that's a minor detail, but I think the big one is just getting the majority of the players to agree on it. The money goes up for them. They cut down on those padded practices in the summer. I think training camp would actually shorten.
Cakes, we never get playoff checks, but now pregame shows, we get an additional regular season
17
game.
Checks, baby. Like that. Like the sound of that.
I read that if all this goes through, the calendar will change for the NFL.
Right.
So the draft would be pushed back. So now it's in late April. It would be pushed back to May. I'm not sure about the combine. I think the combine would actually be pushed back. Everything would be pushed back because they're adding that 17th game and they're adding the playoff teams.
What they should do is push everything forward. So the Super Bowl occurs on the Sunday before, is it President's Day? Where you have off on the Monday. That should be the basis of the new NFL calendar.
Not a bad
forward.
Idea, Cakes.
I would be pro
that
Super Bowl Sunday, the day before President's Day.
That should be the first order of business for the NFL.
I would love that.
Turn it basically into a national holiday, which it is already.
All right, coming up next, we'll get some skinny from our pal Charlie Casserly, former Redskins and Texans GM, now at the NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington, as we continue to talk about the Combine and NFL Draft here on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Up on the roof, up on the roof.
When this old world starts getting me down and people are...
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Charlie Casserly, former Washington Redskins and Houston Texans GM, now with the NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, good morning, man. How are you?
Doing well.
Charlie, we were just talking about the new CBA that's going to be voted on by the NFL players. I guess the NFL reps are going to submit it to the players today, and then I don't know how long it takes to vote on it, but... you know, the new proposal has the 17-game regular season. It's got the expanded playoffs. It's got the shortened preseason from 4 to 3. It's got shortened padded practices. I think they're going to go down from 28 to 16. What's your take on this new proposal if it goes through, which I'm assuming it will?
Yeah, I guess the thing I look at is the development of the players and the quarterbacks and how you're going to approach that. With the one less preseason game, because that was a total preseason game for young players. So you replace that with another practice with another team. So that would be the thing there. The 17 games, I mean, it's an oversimplification, but you're playing 17 games right now. You play a playoff team. So there are teams playing 17 games. Mm-hmm. So and I know not every team does it, but we already have it. It's like Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving's in place in the 30s. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Thursday night games aren't new. But it's the player's decision. And my question is, from the coaching point of view, how are you going to develop Dwayne Haskins with one less game? And then it adds up every year. So that's the thing you got to figure out.
What about the shortened training camp? Because I think the training camp would actually shorten as well.
Well, it hurts the development of younger players.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't deny that. So, I like the fact the practice squad is expanded, right? Because that's your best way of developing players there.
Mm-hmm. So you're against it all, pretty much.
Well, I'm not against it. I mean, I'd have to see the whole thing. I think it's very good for the players as far as all the stuff I've been reading about it. I just think, show me, in other words, we got to get a plan to develop our quarterbacks. Okay, and that's the thing the coaches have to. I want to hear what the coaches have to say about that, because they're the ones that have to do that.
What about the schedule for 17 games? Would they go 9-8, or would they go 8-8 and then one overseas game. Every team plays an overseas game. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the plan is there. I saw a statement that if it's 9 1 year, it's 8 another year.
Yeah.
So that's logical there by conference. But you know, I don't know if they're going to play that many preseason overseas games. I saw one comment that said that's not going to happen, but I really don't know.
Hmm.
So I see that you're uber high on Chase Young. Tell us how you see Chase Young as compared to some of the other top guys who've been drafted, defensive linemen and ends like Myles Garrett a couple years ago, Jadeveon Clowney several years back. How good is Chase compared to some of those guys?
Well, he's let's take one. He's better than Clowney. Clowney had a spotted career where he was injured and wasn't consistent as far as when he did play. This guy's more consistent, and he's played more games. And all these guys play at a high level. He's more consistent than Myles Garrett coming out. He's a better athlete than Mario Williams, meaning he'll make more plays as an athlete. And then go back to Julius Peppers, who was taken second. He's a more instinctive player and farther along than Julius Peppers was at that point.
Wow.
Now, I don't compare him to Boza because Boza only played a few games. So I'm just comparing college careers. All right. So, I mean, that's how you scout. You take a guy and you start comparing it to people. And at the end of it, you go, oh, wow. So, I mean, that's the way I look at the guy. So,
Charlie, are the Dolphins going to be able to stand pat at number 5 and have Tua fall into their laps, or are they going to have to move up to Detroit's 3 pick? What's going to go on there with Tua, especially if he shows well throwing the ball in the next few weeks?
Well, it's all speculation, of course, but if I'm Miami, I'm not comfortable sitting at 3 if I want Tua. Carolina is really one of the keys there. I mean, what are they going to do? Even if you got Cam Newton, I mean, how long is Cam going to play? And you have no idea what he's going to be like. The Cam Newton last year is not a winning Cam Newton. Cam Newton's record when he runs the ball less than 8 times a game is under 50%. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, and his passing percentage is not very good in that situation. I've never seen the stats. So Cam's got to be a runner to make himself effective as a quarterback. He wasn't last year. So, to me, and Marty Herney's been a guy, and I don't know whether Marty will have the final say or not. Marty's a gambler a little bit, see? So if I'm Carolina, unless I will take Herbert, mm-hmm. okay, I want, I'm going to take a shot at Tua because you got the Chargers sitting there.
Right.
So, and they need a quarterback. Now, we'll know more after free agency whether any of these teams solve their quarterback problem.
Yeah, I didn't think about Carolina in that way. So you think Carolina can make a move? Let me ask you this. If the Dolphins really love Tua and feel like they have to move up and they trade and the Skins trade their 2, see, the thing with the Skins is if they really like Chase Young, are they going to risk going beyond the Giants? And if the Giants take Chase Young, which I think they would, then you're going against Chase Young.
They wouldn't get past Detroit.
So you're saying that they would just stay there at 3. Okay, I got you.
Well, I again, the thing, what we have right now, man, it's we have a couple of months here of people talking about what they don't know about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
to me, I'm just going to – I know. So I'm just going to tell you what I would do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the Redskins, I take Chase Young. I don't move back. I think he's that good of a football player. Kerrigan – it'll be interesting what they do with him. Production fell off, great player in the history of the team, but the arrow is not pointing up. I'd let him play the year and then make a decision. I'm not sold on him as a defensive end in the 43 to play the run. I definitely take Young, and even if you sign Kerrigan to the extension, that's an ownership decision to me. And it's part coaching, but you know the owner has to decide, will I pay the money for a player that will not finish his contract? That's where the owner comes involved, and there's no right or wrong answer to that. So you end up with 3 defensive ends, and you got to see if Sweat can do it. Sweat will play better with somebody pressing him.
Yeah. So you think,
Young will press him.
You think there's no deal good enough to convince Rivera to move out of 2 because Chase Young's that good?
Oh, I don't know that. Okay.
In your
I'm not going to speculate on what Ron Rivera says.
Right. In your
if
opinion.
I'm sitting there, I've got to have. It's going to start with a 1 next year by a team that I feel absolutely will be in the top 10. that's going to be the starting point, and I'm not going to move out of the top 10. Okay? So that's my starting point of thinking about it. At the end of the day, I take Young, though.
Talking to Charlie Casley, former Washington Redskins and Houston Texans GM, now at the NFL Network, and you were on the NFL Network talking about the quarterbacks are going to be drafted high, Joe Burrow and Tua. How do you compare those two?
Take either one and be happy. That's the first thing. Okay, seriously. Now, again, we have to assume that Tua's physical would be okay and you're okay. Now, the report I have on him going into the physicals was everything was good. And it appeared that the blood flow was fine. It wasn't a Bo Jackson injury where the blood flow got interrupted and the career is over. He's a fast healer, not a minimum risk, is what I was told. Okay, now that's before everybody saw the guy. Two different quarterbacks. They're just different in this sense, but they both check out very good. Burrow in the LSU offense is more of a shorter offense, short throws, take your deep shots. Tua, more of a downfield offense, then come back underneath. So it's different offenses. Tua, I think you'd like him to see him in a Shanahan-type offense where you've got the bootlegs involved in the play action to get him out of the pocket because of the height. Right? But the guy, he can throw from the pocket. When I graded Russell Wilson in college, Russell Wilson could win from the pocket. And then when I saw his height, I go, oh, my God, this guy's 5'10". You can't take him in the first round. Hey, he's best poor quarterback in football, maybe. So that's Tua. Burrow, you only got the 1 year on him, really, where he's had the one production. Play with a great team. You watch him, a lot of times he doesn't get hit. But he does have mobility. And a guy who knows Brady and knows him said, this guy's Brady when it comes to preparation. Now, that's about the highest level you could recommend a guy right now. So I have Tua 1, Burrow 2, but clearly these guys are top players. When you compare these guys to the guys that have been taken here, both of them are better than Wentz coming out. He went 2. They're better than Goff, okay?
Yeah.
Better than Daniel Jones. So, I mean, that's kind of how I look at the guys, both of them.
Do you think it's possible that Detroit says Tua is too good and we can't pass on him and we have to move on from Stafford?
I don't see that based on what you hear coming out of there. And again, they could say one thing and do another. I get all that. But, Stafford played really well last year. And I think you ride Stafford right now. That's what I would do, and I think that's what they're going to do.
All right, what about Herbert? Do you like Herbert? Who do you compare him to?
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Josh Allen of Buffalo. But it's not it the comparison is inconsistency because they're different. I think Herbert saw the field better and was more accurate, but still is an inconsistency with Herbert, inaccuracy, indecision-making. Anticipation is interesting because he'll hold the ball and throw it when the guy gets open. That's not going to work in the NFL most of the time. But when I asked the Oregon about it, they said he was taught that. He was never taught to anticipate. He was taught to wait till the guy's open because his arm is big enough to get it there. But I've seen anticipation from him, but it's not consistent. So the inconsistency there scares me a little bit. I think he needs to sit a year, and I'm not sure that if you take him, you're betting that he gets better.
By the way, getting back to Tua, I heard Peter King talking about this yesterday. Apparently, Tua spent 14 hours with team doctors yesterday.
Wow.
Well, it's 32 doctors.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of talking about your hip.
Yeah, I know, but it's understandable.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So,
Did you care at all when you were the GM of both the Texans and the Redskins about hand size?
Not to eliminate a quarterback. If you like him, you'll always find a guy who's got the hand size that equals it. That's the way I look at it. So, you note it, but at the end of the day, did it make a difference? No.
All right, so the wide receiver class is really deep. Talk about some of the top guys like Judy. Jason's always talking about CeeDee Lamb. Who do you like the most?
You know, that's a flip of the coin. I put Judy ahead, but honestly, when I do my breakdowns, there's really no difference between the two players. They both excel at run after the catch, which is huge, okay, because that gets you yardage with speed and elusiveness. Both of them have exceptional hands. They both separate really well. I put Judy ahead, but it's really a flip of a coin. They're both there together, in my opinion. They both are top 10 players. In other words, Julio Jones. I rate both of these guys ahead of Julio Jones coming out. Amari Cooper went fifth. They're clearly better than Amari Cooper, speed-wise.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, maybe I'm overrating them, but I'm just looking at guys that get – if you go back and study the guys who are drafted, first of all, you're going to be surprised at how many aren't any good, taken in the top 10 to 15. And that's a sobering thing. When you start saying, okay, I got Judy, and, you know, these guys can't play. Well, then they went there. So then that's how I look at it. Look at history of where guys went. Is he better than people that went in certain positions?
In free agency, would you be comfortable going after an A.J. Green?
Yeah. And and I have a reason to say that. But the feeling is that he still has gas in the tank and still can play. The length of the contract might concern me. That's the thing, but... I would sign him, yes.
Tom Brady. I know you're a big gambler, Charlie.
Yeah.
Right.
If you had to put your money on where Tom Brady, does he stay in New England or does he go to the Raiders? Does he go to the Chargers? Does he go to the Colts? What do you think?
My guess is New England. I think he wants to see what's there. Part of it's probably because of the money, because he has taken, quote, discounts through the years. I'm sure John Gruden would make a push for him. I'm sure the Chargers will make a push for him. I got to believe Bruce Arians will make a call. And the key in New England, and probably what New England has to say to him, is we'll get a tight end, okay? And they should get a receiver, but I think they like their receivers. So that might be what he has to say there. But, again, it's just a guess. I'm going to guess New England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't Belichick say, Tom, I'll go out and get whatever you want. I'll go out and get the best tight end. I'll draft another receiver for you to pair with Harry and Edelman. I mean, that's what I would think.
Yeah, and the only thing with Bill Belichick, and Bill, they need the position, so it's not like you're saying something you don't want to do.
Right.
You know, I just think, Bill, to me, I don't think he'd say, hey, we're going to go take whatever it takes to go get Hooper of Atlanta if he becomes a free agent. I don't think Bill has that personality in him. Okay. I think Bill, I know what we need. And Bill's had a lot of success addressing needs. Okay. All right. He strikes out on, some guys, Gordon or Antonio Brown. Okay. He took chances on character there and it didn't work out. So.
All right. So what's the biggest story for you for this combine? What are you looking for?
Well, of course, Tua's physical is the biggest story. And then even after that, it'll still be a story, okay? Because, now how do you interpret a minimum risk if that's what it said? And you're still going to have to sit there and make the decision. I look at the offensive linemen. We've got four tackles that are rated high. The kid from Louisville, he's this guy's a mountain of a man. I'm anxious to see how he moves there. So, you have that part there. The corners are always interesting because all you see is press in college. Now you'll see them in off coverage. So I'm interested to see how they do in off coverage.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things. The quarterbacks, in reality, Burrow's not going to throw. Tua's not going to throw. I don't put a lot into the evaluation of what you see because they're not throwing to their receivers and there's no practice with it. So. Accuracy, be careful about accuracy when you watch these guys. The tape is going to be more determining.
Right.
On the offensive lineman, athletic ability, defensive backs, backpedal ability. I mean, those are the two things I walk away from, and I think I really learned something there.
By the way, the Louisville tackle you're talking about is Mekhi Becton. He's listed at 6'7", 360.
Oof.
And the guy moves well.
I mean, that's like a monster.
He's a freak.
Imagine how much he has to eat.
Oh,
just
yeah.
To keep that weight.
You got to feed that engine, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Yeah, that he'll wear out the cook.
Yeah. That's right.
The guy's putting in overtime.
All right, Charlie.
Right.
Always great connecting with you. Appreciate the
insight.
All right,
man. All right, good enough.
Yep.
See you now.
Thank you, Charlie.
Bye.
Charlie Casley from the NFL Network, former Redskins and Texans GM. He says the Redskins should just draft Chase Young.
Yep.
A lot of people feel that way.
Don't even think twice about it. Just make the pick.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Caps survived last night and got a win in a shootout. We'll talk to Alan May, Caps analyst from NBC Sports Washington, about that coming up at 8:20 here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Story about the Tesla. Did you see this?
I did not.
So there was a fatal crash. Now, to me, the driver was taken to the extreme, but if the car is indeed self-driving, and I don't think it's a complete self-driving car at this point, maybe you shouldn't play video games, but apparently the guy was playing video games, and that was it. I mean, they're still doing an investigation, but I've been in one where you barely have to touch the wheel, and it could take you, you know, 30 minutes.
Right.
But well, those are the type of things that would scare me a little
bit. To me, it's about prioritizing what's important to you in your life. Is it more important to stay alive and drive yourself? Or is it more important to roll the dice so you can play Call of Duty on your way to work?
Okay, but let me just hear me out on this.
To me, that's kind of the prism I view.
Hear me
out
on this, though.
Yeah.
You, every day, choose to take the elevator instead of the steps.
I do, yes.
You're, in essence, putting your life on the line with that elevator.
Sure.
And there have been elevator problems.
That's true.
Okay, now it is a technology that seems to have been perfected. Really don't hear about people dying on elevators.
For the most part,
At this point, but I bet you there have been elevator deaths.
100%.
I guarantee some elevator cables have snapped, and there have been incidents. So, in a way, you are putting your life in your hands by relying on the technology instead of taking the steps.
I would counter that.
By the way, we're on the second floor.
The elevator doesn't go 80 miles an hour.
I would also counter that argument with, I could just as easily trip down the steps and fall to my death by using the steps. So, I believe your argument is flawed. So, I'm taking a risk either way.
But my point is that this technology is on the path to being perfected like an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially.
I don't think it's ever perfected.
All I know is that everybody in this room and in that room behind us should be rooting against cars becoming fully autonomous and self-driving. Because all that does is put these dinosaurs in here right out of business. Because people are not going to choose radio over TV, Netflix, video games. You wouldn't think. Some might, but the majority will not. So you should be vehemently anti Tesla becoming, or whoever the next self-driving car, you know, player is. You should be rooting against that.
I don't even think about that.
You should be rooting against it with every fiber of your being.
But if you have good content should survive.
Okay.
But all I'm saying,
Drab T-shirt, I mean, you're a radio executive. Would you like to weigh in on this?
I'd say, JP, your content's not better than Netflix.
I do know that.
It's a very good point. It's a great point.
Yeah, so that is on the horizon.
So I have this. JP has this weird, like, fascination where he's like rooting for the self-driving car when he doesn't realize that it's going to put us into an early grave. Am I wrong?
Early grave might have put us out of business. I don't think it was.
That's what I mean.
Early grave.
Like career wise,
okay,
puts us 6 feet under.
You guys will be fine. The next generation,
I think, we'll be fine because we're obviously there's still bugs with the self-driving car.
I don't think it's right around the corner.
No.
That was partial automation in that car from 2 years ago. That wasn't a fully put your legs up,
right?
Do whatever you want.
So that crash was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. And they're always going to tell you, you have to keep your hands on the steering wheel. Because if something goes wrong, they want you to be able to correct it. Not taking a nap.
I enjoy driving.
Yeah, I don't mind driving.
I would never have interest in a self-driving car. I just enjoy it.
You enjoy driving even on a long trip? Like you went 4 hours to Virginia Tech. What if you could take a nap the entire time?
I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't trust the car.
Right. You don't trust it. Now, my point is, I would love the technology to advance so that in 25 years, if I have to make a trip to visit my grandkid or something,
right,
and it's 3 hours away, just press a button.
Well,
and
first
boom,
of all,
I'm there.
I hope I'm alive in 25 years.
That's right. That's
so
the
I don't
key.
Think about technology 25 years down the road, but I wouldn't trust the car if I'm on 81 to dodge.
You currently don't trust it in today's society.
And I probably wouldn't trust
technology.
It in 25 years.
But my point is, and it was flawed, I was just going off the top of my head,
right,
the elevator thing is, I guarantee you, when they first came out with elevators, a lot of people were like, well, I ain't going on that thing. I'm going to take the steps 15 floors.
Yeah.
But eventually,
I'm just not one of those people that is going to watch Netflix in the backseat of my car and let the car drive itself. I would never, ever do it.
I'm pretty much with you.
I would never do it. That's just me.
I like being
one guy.
I
know you would.
I trust my silly driving instincts over computers.
So do I.
At this point.
So
I just do.
But if you had that option where you do trust it, don't act like you wouldn't watch Netflix because on a plane, you watch movies.
Yeah, if I can download them properly, yes. I'm not even trying that for our trip
to
West
Palm. Yeah, but there's no other option. You can't fly your own plane somewhere if you got to go to Florida. You got to rely on it. If you have the option, I'm choosing myself.
Anyway, I was putting a feather in the cap of your argument. You guys are the ones who wouldn't go in the self-driving car. What
That's
I'm saying
true.
Is it definitely takes a hit for those that were fans of the possibility. I don't even know if it's a possibility. I think it's going to happen. It's inevitable. You don't think it's inevitable?
I don't know if it's right around the corner. I mean, is it going to happen? Sure, but I don't know when. Yep. Let me ask you this. When the technology's out there for all of the car makers, are you still going to have the option to drive yourself? Or is
Probably.
It going to be mandatory that you they're only going to self-driving cars? I don't think that's the case.
I mean, I have the Audi Q5 from Audi Rockville. And it already has the technology where you just press a button and it keeps you in the center of the lanes. Do you have that in your car? Where if you drift in your lane,
yes.
if you press the button, if you drift in your lane, it shoots you back to the middle of the lane.
Yes.
That's great technology.
Of course. But I just look at cruise control as self-driving. I mean, you have to steer it, but that's pretty much self-driving. Cruise control.
Yeah, I don't use cruise control.
Oh, I do all the time.
Never.
I do.
That's the extent of
if you're worried about getting speeding tickets, cruise control can be helpful.
That's your friend.
I'll tell you when I use cruise control. Mostly on the ICC.
Yeah.
The ICC makes no sense to me. 60 miles an hour. What place has 60? You're 55, you're 65.
It's the right in between. I don't have a problem with it. You're kind of right in between. Now it's wide open.
Everybody drives
70. It looks like Talladega half the time.
And if you don't look, if you're just driving on the ICC because it's never crowded, you can easily drive 75.
Yeah.
With no intention to drive
70.
No
problem at all. So 75 all of a sudden is 15 over. You get pulled over. That's significant.
Yeah.
So I always put it on old 68 or 69.
And the cops have their hustle on the ICC. They're there all the time.
I think that the ICC...
Cruise control is perfect for the ICC. Put it on 68 or 69.
Yeah.
I think the speed limit on the ICC should be 70.
Well, 70 is a little aggressive. 65 is probably...
70, everyone's going 70. Everybody goes 70. 70 is slow.
I mean, I was doing 70 this morning on the ICC.
I know. It's because it's
so I'm dancing a little bit on the edge because that's 10 over the limit. But I think it's 70, and I passed a cop like a mile
did you get
before
nervous?
For a second. But then I was like, I'm 10 over. Is he really going to bust my balls
probably
for 10
not.
Over?
Probably not. Not unless
he
he's
didn't.
In a bad mood.
Yeah.
But without using cruise control, you could have easily been at 73.
I could have. That's
and
true.
You're when screwed.
When I go down 81 down to Blacksburg to see my daughter,
you should be driving 81 miles per hour. Do that bit.
The speed limit, the max speed limit that I've seen is 70.
Okay.
There's no 75s, it's 70. And I put on cruise control, I hit 79 or 80, and I just hit cruise control. And that'll take me a few miles until I hit a dumbass tractor trailer that I gotta slow down for. But then I'll bypass him and I'll go 80 again.
Yeah.
Cruise control. Self-driving. All I gotta do is steer.
You're semi-self-driving.
I know. But that's my version of self-driving.
Yeah, that's about as far as you're willing to go.
But you're not video gaming.
I would never video game.
Video gaming?
I would never watch Netflix on my phone. I would never do that.
I don't even video game in my basement when I'm not driving in a vehicle going 70.
Hey. Oh, okay. All right.
I love when Jason does that.
What?
You just did on air.
I was going to go to a caller, but... Valdez said we got a break.
So. All right, we do have to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Remember, we got Alan May joining us at 820. We'll get into the Caps' latest win, get his take on the additions to the team. Also, J.P. Finley, who is covering the Redskins, covering the Combine, he'll join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.